Well, greetings, and thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamite, the Natural Nurse. You can always find us at naturalnurse.com. And I want to welcome all our listeners from everywhere around the world. It's just amazing how many people we have downloading the podcast, listening live when we're on air every Tuesday at 10 a.m., and tuning into Progressive Radio Network for many of these shows that they have, and you can find them at prn.live. You can also find many things on our website at naturalnurse.com. So I'm going to tell you about some of the up-and-coming events. I just got back in the nick of time, in fact, to do the show from the Florida Herbal Conference. And that's a yearly event. This is the 12th year that we have had the Florida Herbal Conference. And we did have that two-year, you know, special COVID break, like everything. But this year it was back in person, and it reminded me so much of the herbal conferences I went to in the 1960s. And it was just an old-fashioned kind of herbal conference. It was basically camping out really close to the plants, lots of plant walks where we went out and gathered wild edible and medicinal plants, learned about them, learned to communicate with them and commune with them. And we do that in many of our classes and workshops over the entire year. But you can visit the Florida Herbal Conference. It has a Facebook page. You can see the fire ceremonies we were doing and the herbal product making workshops we did. Those, of course, are not for sale. Those are for you to take home and use for yourself. If you ever think you want to make herbal remedies to sell, then I highly suggest you take a class that we give called Herbal Manufacturing Legal Considerations, because the FDA and the FTC is deeply, deeply embedded in any kind of advertising of natural product sales. So if you're making tinctures, extracts, soaps, or cosmetics, skincare items that are made out of all natural things, and you're selling them, let's say, someplace that you think is obscure, such as online or Etsy, it's not obscure. The bots sent out by those organizations, unfortunately, will likely find you. And if they do, we're talking about you better have six figures in your pocket ready to shell out. So it's really not the best path. There's a lot of other things that you can do with herbs, such as teach about herbs and take people on herb walks and write books. And those are under the realms of education. But as soon as you cross over into product sales, even though you don't know that what you're doing is highly illegal because you're not following all the GMP rules and labeling rules and holding rules and shipping rules, not knowing is not a defense. So that's just a word to the wise. If you or you know anyone who is doing it, you may want to get in touch with me at naturalnurse.com to discuss ways that you can set yourself up for safety on the legal front. But we have so many classes and workshops. If you go to naturalnurse.com, you can join just by going to the bottom of the page, and we just ask for your email, nothing else. And that would just mean that you'll get a newsletter from us every month or so. We don't send them out a lot. Most people actually come back and check on events or calendar, because that's where we have our events. For instance, right now I'm looking at it, and we have Echo Tours for Cures to Jamaica, the education vacation in the island of Jamaica. That is going on right at this moment, but you could learn about it for next year. And Dr. Zamperone, our co-host here, is there with a group of about 20 individuals having a fabulous day today of lectures, workshops, swimming, hiking, and learning a lot from the Jamaican bush doctors, as well as natural product chemists from the University of West Indies. It's a fascinating time, and that's something that we do yearly. We also have online the Natural Nurse Herbal Certification Course, and that is a 4-series class, which we do live online, but it's also available virtually. If you don't join us for any one of the classes, it is posted right after the class, so you can do it at your leisure with a recorded presentation, as well as questions and answers and homework assignments. And you get 18 CEUs for taking this class. 18 CEUs if you're any kind of healthcare professional, such as a licensed massage therapist, a nurse, nurse practitioner, a acupuncturist, an RD, registered dietitian. All of these people can get 18 CEUs by taking this class. But if you're not any kind of licensed professional, you just want to learn more about using herbs correctly for yourself and your family, or if you're thinking of becoming a professional herbalist, such as an RD, that's a registered herbalist, any of those people also don't have to take the CEU credits, but you get the certification. Everybody gets the certification who completes the four classes and does all the homework. So we have several of those classes coming up, and they are all listed there. So including one which is called Natural Nurse Feeling the Consciousness of Plants, which, by the way, is scientifically valid. Then we have coming up a lot of real in-person walks. For instance, our wild, edible, and medicinal herb identification walk at Restoration Farm. That's coming up around the corner in June. Once it warms up there, wouldn't be today because I'm in Florida today. But by June, I'll be back in Oyster Bay. And then we have our spring Chinatown herb walk in New York City. That almost always sells out. And that's also in June, where we go to Chinatown and learn about traditional Chinese medicine. So all of these things are listed on the website. Just go to naturalnurse.com and then click on classes, and you'll see them all listed. And you can come back there often because we always have new classes. We also have podcasts. Over 2,000 podcasts are listed under radio shows because they're radio shows like we're doing right now. And then we have links to the archives about that, as well as thousands of articles and other services, such as teaching you how to become an RD, which is a registered herbalist that we do. So today we're having as our guest Dr. Julie Gatza. Dr. Julie is the co-founder of the Florida Wellness Institute. She's a health educator and one of the nation's top chiropractic physicians with more than 30 years of clinical practice, during which she has assisted thousands of patients to resolve a wide variety of physical ailments. Using her deep understanding of the nervous system, nutrition, and natural therapeutics, Dr. Gatza's mission with each patient is to enhance their body's potential to heal. So thank you so much for joining us today, Dr. Gatza.
Thanks for having me on.
So shall I call you Dr. Julie?
Yes, please.
Okay, so that's good. And that's what we'll do as we walk you through. Now, you're kind of a neighbor at the moment because I am in Deerfield Beach. And I believe your clinic is across on the West Coast. Is that true?
You got it. I'm in Clearwater.
So I was pretty close to that yesterday. Have you ever been to DeLand?
I have been to DeLand.
So that's where the Florida Herbal Conference was. And that is like a pretty out of the way place, let me tell you.
Yes, it is.
But that's a beautiful institute. I really invite everyone to visit your website. And it's called FloridaWellnessInstitute.com. So you will see all the fabulous work that Dr. Julie does. Let's go back in time to a little girl, Dr. Julie. What made you take this path of becoming a chiropractic physician?
Well, I'm a third generation chiropractor, and mom only took us to the medical doctor for school physicals, or, you know, when we really did need an antibiotic, which was very unusual. But we were always raised with chiropractic. And I had a grandfather, a great uncle, an uncle, a cousin. And I was helped by a guy whom was my mentor when I was 16 with a shoulder injury. I was a swimmer and they were threatening to, you know, do surgery. And I went and saw him. And within a week's time, he had corrected my shoulder. And I basically said, I want to do that. And so from that point on, the that was written on the walls.
So that's really lucky, I think, because me too, I had a pretty straight path. Well, I did go to pre-veterinary medicine and then wound up doing natural medicine for humans instead of animals, because at the time, back in 1969, when I was in school, there was actually a height requirement, which I couldn't meet being 4'11", to become a veterinarian. So I switched all my medical courses over towards human health. So that's really great that you knew that that's what you wanted to do, even from a young age.
Absolutely. I feel so blessed that I didn't have to kick it around too long. So, you know, that whole path was just, you know, direct. And, you know, even when I was a kid, my mom was recalling that, you know, the neighbors would come over and I'd lay them down on the shag carpeting and, you know, attempt to adjust their mid backs when I was about 10. So I guess I was, you know, sort of destined to want to do this for a long time.
And when people think of chiropractics, they often think of what you're talking about there, which is a physical hands-on adjustment, which is, I think, phenomenally useful for so many people. I really think children, and my own children who are now 50, did get that as babies.
Right. Yeah, I've adjusted so many children and infants and even hours old and, you know, colicky kids and kids with earaches and kids with jaundice and kids whose heads aren't turning correctly. And I mean, it's, you know, upset kids, kids that can't sleep. And it's amazing. They're, you know, their spines are spines as well. They also, you know, have been, you know, twisted and turned either at the birth process or, you know, when they were in the womb, you know, who knows what goes on with all those little bodies and motions and things. And the fact is they respond so quickly that, you know, chiropractors, as a general rule, pride themselves on having very healthy children because we adjust them all the time, you know, earache, throat ache, you know, sore throat, chest, whatever. And we adjust them. And generally we can avoid the antibiotics and any doctor visits because they correct themselves.
And that is so true. And there's a lot of science that describes that exact experience. So it's amazing to me that chiropractics has been actually challenged, let's say in a political sense, really challenged, where they don't cover it in terms of health insurance sometimes and, you know, just make it more difficult when really it's probably one of the gentlest and most cost-effective therapeutics to keep people well.
Well, it really is. And, you know, I'm so used to it. I've done this for 31 years and I'm so used to, you know, all the comments and all the sort of, you know, jaded viewpoints and, you know, taught viewpoints. And, you know, I became a chiropractor because I wanted to help people without the use of drugs and surgery. And so we had to find, you know, so many ways to skin a cat. And, you know, we were allowed to kick open so many doors. By the time we graduated, we had a lot of tools in our pocket. And then, you know, the freedom to really keep exploring and find out what works for you. And, you know, I often feel a little sorry for the medical profession that didn't get that opportunity, that basically learned what we learned. And at the end of their schooling was, you know, drugs and surgery were the solutions. And it's like, oh, but they didn't get to learn these other things. And I'm always, you know, I feel badly that they weren't exposed to it.
Right. Because really it goes hand in hand. But I would think chiropractic, and I'm sure, because that's what I've used my whole life too. Not myself. I'm not a chiropractor, but I find chiropractors wherever I am. And there's a lot of different styles. Like if people do visit one chiropractor and they feel like that one's not exactly for me, there are many other styles. What do you practice?
Well, I specialize in applied kinesiology. So I use a lot of muscle testing. I do a tremendous amount with nutrition and diets. And I sort of reel in people that have had a lot of chronic problems that are frustrated. And so my specialty is seeing all the endpoint people that, you know, really need some other solutions rather than what they've been given.
So that's what I notice on your beautiful website, which is Florida Wellness Institute, that you do things that people may not associate, let's say, with an adjustment, a spinal adjustment, which you also still do, but something like body chemistry analysis.
That's right. Yeah, I use a muscle testing procedure to find out if there's any food sensitivities, what nutrients they may be missing. I find it extremely accurate. And, you know, I'm the type of person that it's wonderful to read reports and read everybody's opinions. But, it has to work. And if it doesn't work, it got thrown out the door a long time ago. So after all these years, what I use at this point has been working over and over and over again. And there's no, you know, sort of nebulous aspects to it. You know, I've found that if you correct the digestive system, really get the digestive system where it's uninflamed, it's absorbing what you should be eating, if it's getting the nutrients that you need, and you're really feeding your cells properly, and you're, you know, having your own system work efficiently, this is the basis to all the health problems that I've been correcting, from high blood sugar to autoimmune disorders and, you know, chronic pain and headaches and, you know, hormonal imbalances and infertility and, you know, sleep problems and energy and all these things. You correct the digestive system and then you'll see the results.
Right. And a lot of people don't do that. You know, something that really amazes me to no end. First of all, I love applied kinesiology. Also, when I was practicing, I used it to help people decide which nutrients and foods might be best for them. And I actually took the applied kinesiology course at the New York Chiropractic College,
which Excellent.
It was at the time near my house in Oyster Bay. It has since moved. And in fact, I teach in their herbal program. It has moved upstate. But I took that from a man named Van Rump. You might have known if you're old enough.
I've heard about him, but yes, I've known the name.
So it's really I think that technique should be taught to everyone, you know, to mothers.
If I couldn't do it, I wouldn't want to practice. So it's kind of, I'm at the point now that I've used it. So it's everything. And it's given me certainty as a doctor. It's given me much certainty on where to exactly adjust with somebody. There's no guessing. And it takes a lot of the, you know, I wonder if this is going to work or do they need this? Or boy, why don't we try this out for the next few weeks and see how you do on it? Mostly it's just pretty certain. And you give it and you're, you know, absolutely certain it's going to give the results it should.
Right. So like, let's say theoretically, you as a physician are discussing someone with something that might relate to digestion, and you might want to recommend some supplements. And there's a whole long list of things that might be good for that situation. But with applied kinesiology, you can determine what's best for that person. And I also used to use it for dosing. So it's not like, of course, the board, everybody does it 3 times a day.
It's right.
So you individualizing and prioritizing your recommendations.
Yes. And it really does take out the guesswork. So, you know, I do have, you know, let's just say 20 different things that could apply to digestion sitting here on my shelf in my office. And, you know, how do you know what to give? I mean, you can read all about it. There's all sorts of information, but what does that person exactly need? And they're often coming in with their own nutrition, and it may have all sorts of great ingredients, but it's not well-made nutrition. So they think they're getting a wonderful vitamin D, and it's not a wonderful vitamin D, but it says it is on the label. So how do you just, you know, differentiate this? And muscle testing has really helped me put it in very black and white columns.
It's true. And so many supplements too, if we're talking about supplements, which is not the only path, of course, it has to do with eating and physical fitness and our thought processes, all of those things are involved. And as a chiropractor, I'm sure you bring all of that together.
I do. I do. And it continues to work. So it's, you know, quite satisfactory to be in the profession I am and have, you know, correctly picked what I should have been doing.
So also, Dr. Julie, you are talking about digestion, and you're not a gastroenterologist, but something that's shocking to me is that gastroenterologists, when people do go to them, because they're having, usually by that time, they're having quite a bit of digestive distress, and they maybe went to their regular general practitioner and they didn't get any answers. So then that guy or woman says to go to a gastroenterologist. And when you go there, it's shocking to me, shocking, after doing this medicine since the 1960s, that they do not even ask the patient, what are they eating? As if that is not related to the digestive system. How is that possible?
I do not understand. It's amazing to me. But, you know, I think it also falls into, there is a very definite path in medical school. You might have two students that, you know, want to help as much as each other. One goes to chiropractic school and gets to kick open all these doors, and the other one goes to medical school. Truly, we have the exact same education. We took hour per hour per hour, the same education as a medical doctor. It's just at the end, the door they get to open, or two of them, is drugs and surgery. So in the meantime, you know, we're finding out about applied kinesiology and herbology and acupuncture and naturopathy and, oh my goodness, clinical kinesiology and nutrition and all these things that, you know, aren't even words used in medical school. And so, you know, we had to fix the body without using drugs and surgery. So, you know, we have to find out, what is it that's causing inflammation? Why did you get a bellyache today and you didn't have one yesterday? What did you eat last night? You know, where have you been? And all these questions that pertain and make so much logical sense, as compared to, you know, to me, it would be just so weird to have somebody come in with a digestive problem and then listen to them and write them a script and that's it. That's it.
Well, it's worse than that, because as we know now, it has degraded in the 40 plus or 50 years I've been doing medicine to where now it seems what conventional physicians are doing. And if you're a conventional physician and this doesn't apply to you, I'm just sorry I'm bringing it up, but I'm seeing it constantly. Like Dr. Julie said, the physicians on one side of the room, the patients on the other side of the room, they aren't, the physician does not smell them, does not touch them, does not look into their eyes. They're just at the other side of the room at the computer terminal trying to find a billing code. That's like the major part of the time they spend. And then whatever the client says, whether it's a 90-year-old woman or a 50-year-old, 250-pound man, but they both have a stomach ache, they both get the same pharmaceutical and even at the same dose. And that's it. Mm-hmm. How is that good medicine?
I hadn't even thought about it doing it that way, because I don't really see physicians myself, much less have a situation, but I hadn't thought about that. But you're right. It is, you know, I mean, there are some wonderful people that really started off truly wanting to help, but you know, it's a funny system out there, the medical system. And, you know, I've talked to a lot of frustrated medical doctors as well, who wanted something more, and they're a slot in a system that really they're unable to change unless they break away. And, you know, that's an uncertain future for them as well.
That's true. So it is. It's definitely frustrating for the physician, especially as a clinician. I know that you are thrilled when you see people get better. That's why you're doing the whole thing. That's what you want to happen.
Well, I would hang it up if I didn't see that. There's a lot easier professions to get much reward out of. If you were a doctor not improving people, I don't know why you would stay.
Right. And unfortunately, many of them do. Well, we're going to take a little break right here at The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're going to listen to a natural medicine chest that Dr. Z and I put together. And when we come back, we will be continuing our conversation with Dr. Julie. And you can also find her great website with lots of information at floridawellnessinstitute.com. We'll be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll explore the medicinal properties of the plants of the ephedra genera, focusing on the traditional Chinese ephedra, also known as mahuang.
Many species of the plant ephedra are used today in medicine throughout the world. The most medicinal of these are ephedra sinica, or Chinese mahuang, and ephedra nevadensis, also known as Mormon tea. Most of the research on ephedra has been performed on mahuang, whose stems and branches have been used as a traditional Chinese medicine for over 5,000 years in the treatment of asthma, hay fever, bronchitis, as well as the common cold.
Ephedra species are erect evergreen shrubs which grow in segmented bamboo-like joints reminiscent of straw, ending in thin wisps. They typically are desert plants, preferring arid conditions on dry, rocky, and sandy slopes. The Chinese ephedra, mahuang, has earned an impressive reputation as a source of the alkaloid chemical called ephedrine. In the West, scientists became interested in the medicinal usage of mahuang after they isolated ephedrine and pseudoephedrine in 1990. 1923. Today, synthetic derivatives have become widely used in prescription and over-the-counter medications. In 1993, over 40 million prescriptions in the U.S. contained these alkaloids.
Ephedra and its relatives are considered to act pharmacologically as sympathomimetic compounds. This means that they stimulate the sympathetic part of our central nervous system, responsible for the release of adrenaline, which leads to the fight or flight response. Ephedra also affects the cardiovascular system by increasing the blood pressure and causes a relaxation and dilation of the bronchial smooth muscles in asthmatics. Ephedra can shrink the swelling of the delicate mucous membranes which line the respiratory system, thus drying up watery discharges, unstuffing clogged nasal and sinus passages, which accompany colds, sinus conditions, and allergies.
In both animal and human studies, mahuang has been shown to accelerate weight loss. It has been shown not only to suppress appetite, but to increase the metabolic activity of the adipose or fat tissue. Therefore, ephedra's weight-reducing effects are most significant in individuals who have a low metabolic rate or a sluggish thyroid gland.
Mahuang is a powerful herb which, when abused, can cause some unwanted side effects. Ephedra should not be taken by those with high blood pressure, nervousness or anxiety, insomnia, cardiac conditions, or pregnancy. Studies indicate that when used in conjunction with other Chinese herbs in a traditional formula, mahuang does not have any of these effects and has remarkable beneficial effects on human health.
We recommend consulting a healthcare practitioner knowledgeable in the use of botanical medicine before using mahuang, so you can be further educated about its totality of effects. And before using herbal preparations with mahuang, check to see if you are sensitive to its effects by starting with the minimal dose and working up to a therapeutic dose. Logically, since ephedra is a stimulant itself, it should be used prudently with other stimulants, beverages, or drugs with stimulant effects. Again, consult with your natural healthcare practitioner.
So, listeners, remember mahuang, the traditional Chinese ephedra, and make sure to include it in your natural medicine chest.
And welcome back. Thank you so much for joining us today right here on The Natural Nurse. And Dr. Z, we're happy to have you with us. And you can always visit our website at naturalnurse.com, where you can get links to literally thousands of podcasts. You can look at our books. Dr. Z and I have about 16 books that we've written for sale. You can go to events and find out all the activities you can join in with, both live, such as going out on herb walks and collecting edible and medicinal herbs, like we were doing in De Leon, Florida, this weekend at the Florida Herbal Conference, or come with us to Chinatown, all kinds of fun events. And of course, we have tons of online classes, some of which are free, some of which are in person. Tonight, I will be presenting, if any of you are here in the Florida area, at the American Holistic Nurses Association Fort Lauderdale Conference, and I'll be lecturing on iron, the strength mineral. And if you can't get to that, we have that available as a class very reasonably that you can take to learn about all the things that iron does for you and which kind of iron is best. What is the difference between heme iron, for instance, and other forms? Today, we are so happy to have as our guest Dr. Julie Gatza. Dr. Julie, who is co-founder of the Florida Wellness Institute, as well as being a chiropractic physician and health educator with more than 30 years of clinical practice. And you can find her at floridawellnessinstitute.com. Thank you so much for being with us today, Dr. Julie.
I'm thrilled to be on your show. Thank you.
Now, we're talking about digestion and you as a chiropractor, why you're so interested in digestion. Is that about like cracking the back? How does digestion fit into your wheelhouse?
Yes, it is about that. One of the things that people don't realize is when they are inflamed, whether it's their joints or their intestine or their back or whatever it may be, they have pain in the body, they're inflamed. And to handle any of that, you have to handle it at the digestive system first. So in your small intestine, you have tiny holes that allow food to go into the blood, allow nutrition to go into the bloodstream. And that is the nutrients that are carried to the rest of the body. If you have any sort of digestive upset or inflammation happening or irritation, those tiny holes become larger. And you also get not only the nutrition getting into the bloodstream, but you also can have particles of food and waste products and toxins go into the bloodstream. So the body is constantly then battling things that don't belong in the bloodstream, and that can cause a chronic inflammatory response throughout the whole body. I talk to a lot of patients over the years that have been adjusted, and they say, I was hurting afterwards. It didn't really seem to hold. It was painful to have it done. And I just talked to a stranger yesterday, and I was explaining this to him, and he said, oh my goodness, that makes so much sense. And so once you uninflame somebody and you have them drop all this, you know, weight and inflammation, and they start to feel better, everything that you do after that really makes a difference. And I'm talking everything, whether it's chiropractic or massage or physical therapy or even exercise or following a better diet, it really does bite at that point.
Well, you just mentioned something that a lot of people are like forever interested in, which is the fact that inflammation is also related to weight gain.
Absolutely, it is. And, you know, I've never met a person who had a weight problem who wasn't inflamed. So, you know, one of the things that I also say is, and they're also starving. They're malabsorbing. They aren't being, they're missing the nutrition at a cellular level, and they're starving. So once we correct what's happening with their gut, and once we start to get that working better, and we handle the inflammation, and we start to feed the cells the nutrition that they're missing, this is where they start to lose weight. Nice and easy. It doesn't come off, you know, overnight, but, you know, it comes off kind of quickly in the beginning. And then about a pound a week is a really good sort of staple on, are they on the right program? Are they following it well? And, you know, I have a patient right now who's losing consistently 3 to 4 pounds a week. Now, he had weight to lose.
That's a lot. Whoa.
Yeah, but he had a lot of weight to lose. So, you know, comparatively, it wouldn't be like somebody, you know, a little overweight. He was, you know, he was up there, but it's been consistent since January 15th, and he's doing great.
So when you're talking about some of your eating rules, they're interesting. You know, you say eat only when you're hungry.
Well, that goes for most people. You know, we've been brought up with 3 meals a day, and we're sort of programmed to that. We're also of the mindset of, oh, you know, I don't need to eat. I'm the type of person who can get by on just coffee and, you know, I don't need to eat until later. Well, it does depend on each person. And, you know, I'm a heavy proponent of eating a lot of protein, eggs and, you know, fish and chicken and, you know, steak. And I don't care. Just put the protein in and put it in at every meal, because one of the things that we're lacking is good solid protein meals. We're eating a lot of carbohydrates. We're, you know, stimulating our body with coffees, teas, and soda pops, and, you know, having a lot of bagels and you know, croissants and toast and spaghetti and pizza and things that are just really filled with carbs that we need the protein first. And if you're going to be eating, you know, a grazing type of a person, you should graze on a lot of protein and vegetables. And if you're going to eat one meal a day, you know, cut back some of the stimulants that you're using and eat one good protein and vegetable meal a day.
So that's great advice. I really actually agree with that. But for instance, like I mentioned, I'm giving a class tonight on iron. And that's why also so many micronutrients, when you are a strict vegan, you're really missing a lot of nutrients. But if a client comes to me and they have that diet, I will ask them, are they having it as a philosophical commitment? Like, you know, it's their religion, or are they doing it for health? And if they're doing it for health, I would definitely recommend them reconsider.
Me too. And especially, you know, I mean, I really do push them eating eggs and fish if they really have some, you know, something on that. But, you know, I do feel as if red meat is a very key component to our diets. And the biggest problem that I find people who actually don't have a spiritual aspect against it is their digestion's not working well. And so they can't break down something complicated like red meat. And usually it means they're not making enough digestive enzymes. They're not able to break down the protein in the red meat, which is complicated, but it is the one that will last very much longer. And it does give the micronutrients that you're talking about. And, you know, us lacking the ability to make our own enzymes also comes along with, you know, what type of food we're eating, our stress levels, you know, our soil, our seeds, the way we produce foods and prepare foods. You know, there's a lot more to it than just you're just not getting enough nutrition.
Right. And even just thinking about those nutrients lacking in a strict vegetable kind of diet is going to be like carnosine. And the topic I'll be talking about today in terms of iron, there's no heme iron in vegetables. So when people say, well, I get enough iron, I eat spirulina, that's like not it.
Right. That's, yeah, you need to get it from the red meats and the, you know, the mammals that way.
So, of course, it would be best if we could get meat that's been grazed on unsprayed soil and not just in a feedlot. So we could, you know, do the best we can and find sources of that.
True. I definitely agree. A little tricky, but it's true.
Right. Not everyone can afford it either because it's more expensive as well. But what I did was just raised my own animals. That's what I did. I had a farm and we raised our own animals like chickens and turkeys and goats. And when our goats were born, I remember, you know, helping the mama goat deliver. And I would actually say, welcome to the world and you will become part of us. And I meant it literally. So,
right.
You know, but not most people are not that in touch with their food at this point.
Correct.
Now, I know you are someone who's interested in not mixing different food types and eating foods in proper order. And one of my teachers, Dr. Bernard Jensen, used to talk about that a lot. Why don't you tell us your philosophy about that?
Well, I've found that, you know, not everybody wants to spend money on buying, you know, nutrition. Not everyone wants to, you know, put something extra. They want to try to get it from their meals. And, you know, what I have seen, observed, and found is if you actually eat your meals and separate from each other as far as the food groups, you give your body the chance to break down those foods. First of all, they can recognize it. The body can recognize it. So let's just say we start with a piece of chicken and you start cutting into that chicken. You have enzymes that start to go just from you starting the chewing process. And once it recognizes that it's a protein, you have enzymes that are secreted by your pancreas that say, hey, let's break down this protein. If you give it some time, you know, 5-10 minutes, let it sit there for a bit, and, you know, enjoy your meal. And then you go for your vegetables. You have something else then that the body says, okay, great. Now we're getting vegetables. Let's, you know, secrete the enzymes that break down the vegetables and, you know, so on and so forth. I have found that that is easier for people to digest. They're not all bloated, gas, indigestion, heartburn, constipation, diarrhea, or acid reflux. Anytime you have any one of those symptoms, it simply means that your body didn't break down what you just ate. So it happens very commonly. It is not normal, but it's very common. And if you have to think about your digestive system, even once in the day, it's probably not working efficiently because it should definitely be a system that you don't really have to think about. It should just work and not cause you any sort of grief or backlash. And once it does, this is where you want to take a look and go, all right, am I eating too much? Did I eat too fast? Did I combine a whole bunch of foods? Am I missing enzymes? Do I need to take some enzymes? And, you know, start really taking a look at just that. And it's not that hard to figure out. And once you get your system working properly, you do appreciate that it gives you no symptoms whatsoever.
And that's where you really feel the payback for your efforts. You start feeling better, which is absolutely great.
You have energy and you're sleeping better and you don't have aches and pains so much. And, you know, you don't have restless legs and you're losing weight and your skin looks better and your eyes look alive and you don't have dark circles. And, you know, it's pretty amazing how obvious it is when somebody is doing the right thing to them and to others because everything's working the way it's supposed to.
Now, I find this recommendation you have interesting because this is something that all grandmothers always say. You have chew 22 times, including drinks.
That's right. And
so tell us about that.
Well, I picked the number because it was easy to remember. But, you know, if you start asking somebody to start chewing and counting, you realize that we're kind of like dogs who have been flipped a piece of steak. It's gone in no time. And you're like, hey, did I even taste it? Did that dog even enjoy it? And the fact is, we do not chew enough. We're not masticating our food enough. We aren't giving it a break and, you know, sort of being the sous chef and breaking it into small pieces so our digestive systems don't have so much work, and then unbroken down food that we're actually eliminating. So, you know, 22 times is a decent amount that you actually go, oh my goodness, I've slowed down my meal. I'm fuller faster. I have less digestive problems. And, you know, even starting the process of chewing with something like a protein drink also sets that system into order where your enzymes are starting to be secreted and you're, you know, helping that along in that sense.
And people don't realize that. So also, you know, you start to feel more satiated. So for those people who might be overweight because they're just chowing down like an inordinate amount, I love the Ayurvedic teaching of putting the sides of your hand together. And of course, all our hands are different sizes. And they say that's the amount of food you should consume in a day. Hmm. When I say that to groups, they're like falling off their chair. So I say, okay, well, let's just say that's the amount that you should eat in one meal, which is really still much less than most people are eating in one meal.
It's so true. I mean, we do overindulge here and, you know, our portions are huge. And I think partly because our food isn't quite as healthy as it used to be, we are eating a lot more volume to try to feel satisfied, and it's missing nutrients. So we're constantly seeking, you know, what can I have? What can I eat? What do I need? And the fact is we don't need a lot. We just need quality food that hasn't been altered. And, you know, you're right. It is expensive to, you know, always seek out the organic and the, you know, pasture raised everything. And it's not that easy for people. But the fact is, if we are eating just the simple foods, the proteins, the vegetables, you will feel a lot more satisfied than if you're, you know, ripping open a box of cereal and Pop-Tarts and, you know, putting things in the microwave and, you know, buying frozen foods that you, you know, can cook in a second. That stuff is just not going to have the nutrition and you're going to always feel hungry.
Yeah, it's so processed. It's really a shame that so many people do eat that way. One thing I have in my house is something I call paragraph-free eating, which means there's nothing here that you could find that has like a label with writing on it.
That's
and
wonderful.
People go, what? How is that possible? Well, think about what does that mean? That means I have food here. Mm-hmm. In addition, it's organic whenever possible, but it's like an avocado, a piece of chicken, not a box with a paragraph on it of who knows what those things are.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Egg, chicken.
Right, just whole food. So we're going to take another little break right here, Dr. Julie, so that our wonderful station, Progressive Radio Network at PRN.live, that's a good place where you can get it, as well as on all your podcasts. I looked for our podcast, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, the other day when I was at the Florida Herbal Conference. People asked me where they could find it. And I don't listen to podcasts, but I found it all over the place on pretty much all those places, iHeart and Spreaker and this and that. So it's a very easy thing that you can do is download. So you can listen every week. And we have new editions as well as we have, you know, hundreds of archived editions. And we also have it in a way that you can look it up by topic on our website. So we will be right back with more right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. I believe we're going back. So thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, The Natural Nurse. And you can always find us, sign up for our newsletter, get in touch at naturalnurse.com or Facebook, The Natural Nurse. And today we are talking about Dr. Julie Gatz about digestion of all things, because she is a chiropractic physician who is deeply ingrained in really being concerned about whole body wellness. And while she also does adjustments, she's also looking at the whole person. Now, Dr. Julie, I don't know, have you figured out how to give an adjustment on Zoom yet?
No, I have not. Right. Amazing.
But yet, I imagine you could have online participants in your wellness program.
Oh, yes, I have a lot of them. I do a lot of work all over the country. I have a lot of different things that I'll recommend. And, you know, it's not that hard to change it up. And what I generally find with people that are willing is within a week or two of them following the advice that I give, they really see a change that's, you know, worthwhile keeping.
And I know that you do talk about some supplements. Now, since we're talking a lot about digestion, are there specific herbs and enzymes that you think would be useful?
There are so many, and you could probably fill in the gaps that I might have with the herbs. But the enzyme that I use, because there are only so many companies in this country who are doing it correctly. And this company, Nature's Sources, makes a number of different enzymes. And the one that I use is called Absorbaid. It's an all-vegan formula, and it has the ability to break down your proteins, your fats, your carbohydrates, even dairy products. And you take, you know, these enzymes with each meal, whether you're doing, you know, well digestively or you need some help digestively, it does aid in getting more bang for your buck every time that you eat. And if that's the whole purpose, that we're trying to actually eat food to get nutrition, to be healthy, to get healthier, to stay healthy, then we want to get the most that we can and wring those nutrients from our plates, because we're spending the money on the food, we're preparing it, we're, you know, hoping our family and ourselves like it, and then we're taking the time to eat it, and we want the nutrients from it. This isn't just all about your taste buds. So the Absorbaid does a bang up job of really getting those nutrients out of your food and putting them into your cells the way where they belong.
So what's in that formula?
They have different types of, well, it's all from, you know, vegetables and fruits and, you know, different things like that. But they have an amylase, which breaks down the carbohydrates. They have a lipase in there, which breaks down your fats. They have a pancreas, which breaks down the proteins in the body. And they have the lactase, which breaks down the dairy products, so, and cellulase, which breaks down vegetables. So each one of these ACEs, ACE at the end of a word means enzyme. And so by taking those, you know, not everyone wants to improve their diet and change, you know, their fast food eating. But, you know, if you're not going to change that, then take the enzyme so that you can get the toxins out of the body quicker and you can help to get the nutrients that are in that food into your body. And if you are eating well, then let's do, you know, yourself a favor and get the most from that food as well. You know, a lot of people want to buy multivitamins, which, you know, is perfectly fine. And there are some good companies that make decent multivitamins. But the whole purpose for a multivitamin is because you're not getting what you need from your food. So let's start there and, you know, save yourself a bunch of time and money. And, you know, taking a digestive enzyme like the Absorbaid, high quality, is, you know, a huge difference. And it's a game changer for my patients.
So it allows you to digest food a lot more easily. But like when you're talking about fast food, I find people feel challenged if you say you can never eat this again when it's all they are eating.
I agree.
So I'll usually say, you can eat it. Make it if you really love that, I can understand it, but people do. And there are also addictive chemicals in there. You can make it a once a week treat forever. You know, mm-hmm. Like every Sunday I go to Mick whatever. A lot of times that falls away over time too, but it's much better psychologically because there's a fear factor about thinking you can never eat it when there's something that you're connected to and that you enjoy.
Absolutely true. And, you know, I do the same because, you know, this is a planet that has a lot of different tastes and enjoyments and things that people really like, including myself. I am not perfect, but I do know that if I'm not perfect, there's easy ways to, you know, remedy it and not, you know, go down the rabbit hole because I can't figure it out, you know. And we do have a lot of ethnicities in this country. And along with that came a lot of different ways of digesting food, which you might not have thought of. But, you know, the Japanese have ginger with a lot of their food because ginger is an aid in digestion. We've got parsley on the side of the plate, which also is helpful to digestion. Pineapple helps to break down protein, We've got sauerkraut and fermented food that is supposed to be eaten with your meal because that also aids your digestion. So there's a lot of natural things that come along with our meals that we weren't even aware of. And then there's a lot of different herbs that also increase your ability to digest, lemon and cabbage and turmeric and things like this. And I'm sure, Ellen, you have a lot more, a huger list than what I have.
Well, that's a good start. Including those, and like you said, some fermented food. That's really amazing because when you think about like Eastern European or Asian, every grandmother has their fermented foods. Mm-hmm. If you go back a couple generations, so something that's sort of around the whole world and was always recognized as something that really assists digestion. Of course, it's a good thing to include in your diet.
That's right. And you're right. Every grandmother has that recipe. And, the thing that's been really lost, and I'm sad about this, is, there are correct ways to prepare our food. And I don't find very many people even know about this anymore. And, our grains should be soaked overnight. And the reason being is it releases enzymes to allow them to be utilized and so that you can truly get the nutrition from them. So if you're eating oats, not the kind that come in the big thing, but steel cut oats, they should be soaked overnight. Your quinoa should be soaked overnight. And, your almonds and your cashews and your walnuts, they should be whole and raw and not toasted, and they should be soaked overnight because they actually release enzymes, and now nuts are actually easier for you. I find a lot of people graze on nuts and are wondering why they can't lose weight and they don't feel good, and it's because they're not giving you the nutrition that they had the potential to give if you prepared them properly.
That's true. I actually learned that from Dr. Bernard Jensen too, soaking nuts before you eat it, because nuts are seeds actually.
Right.
And seeds naturally are coated with something that keeps them from breaking down until water washes that off. And then they start metabolizing into a higher protein content. So it really makes a lot of sense. So you have so many great chips and things that people can do, even if they were to connect with you online. And of course, if they're local in your area, they can also come in for a hands-on adjustment.
Absolutely. Yes, it's true. And, with this whole thing about soaking the foods, they actually do taste better. And, it takes away the cooking time. Even beans, we eat a heck of a lot of canned beans and, who knows how the restaurants are preparing them. But, I have a lot of Latino friends who basically say, no, my mom, soaked the beans for 2 days. And, the one from Colombia said, my grandmother did it this way. And, it is correct, and it's not a big deal. You take a bowl, you put the beans in, you put a cloth over it, you rinse it in the morning, and now you have, way better food, a much healthier food that's you're going to actually benefit from. And one of the reasons we get so gassy after eating beans is they haven't been soaked and properly cared for, so we can't break down that cell wall very easily.
That's true. And then there are people with various sensitivities, which, of course, you're testing for with your kinesiology. Like beans might not be the right food for some people. And much less people are allergic to meat, that's for sure.
I agree.
Because it doesn't have lectins and, it's probably one of the actual first primal kinds of foods. Well, I want to thank you so much for being our guest today. And thank you for all the good work you've been doing so many decades, not only with digestion, but so many other health issues. And where's the best place for people to find you?
Well, thank you. They can go to, if they're interested in finding out about the Absorb-Aid and the related products to the Absorb-Aid, they should go to the website, which is naturessources.com, and, read about it, educate yourself. It's so lovely to get information, but it never changes unless you do something for yourself. No one's knocking on your door tomorrow and saying, hey, I got you a bottle of Absorb-Aid. You're going to actually have to do it yourself. And the other thing that you can do that makes it even easier, though, is if you call the 1-800 number, you can use the code radio and ask for some free samples or 20% off your first order. And this company is so generous. I love these guys. They're doing it correctly. That phone number is 1-800-827-7656. And I often have some tips on my Instagram, which is Dr. Julie Healthy Vibes.
Dr. Julie, Healthy Vibes, thank you so much for being our guest today.
Thank you so much, Ellen.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in once again to another edition of The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z right here on Progressive Radio Network. Until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, along with the blessings from my co-host, Dr. Eugene Zamperone, hoping that you stay healthy.